Thank you, everyone, once again so much for choosing to take this time out of your Sunday morning to come and worship with us, even far apart. It's wonderful to still be assembled with the body of Christ. This week has been crazy. I don't need to tell you that by any means. You know, but I just want to give a quick shout out to some people here, just even to make this morning possible, as well as just for what they do anyway. I want to give a big shout out to Bill and Frank in the back for being the tech gurus they are, for Casey being the lone elder while Mark was gone. No offense to Mark, obviously, but wrangling all the calls and all the decisions that needs to be made about some of these important decisions, for Eric continuing with the adult class, for many, many other teachers, the education coordinators, to try for the discussion we've been having about how to best serve the kids' classes coming up, some additional content that we can give you, and just everyone. There's been too many conversations, too many emails to name this week about people contacting me, praying together, trying to think of ways that we can still be not just a body in name, but a still a functioning body, still a body that is doing the mission of God, that is the mission of God, even while we're socially distanced and isolated. It's very easy for many people to suffer all kinds of things, very serious things, even in isolation, but I can imagine it would be very easy for many people to fall away from church attendance or even fall away from the church. And the spirit which I have gotten this week has been that so many people in this congregation, with God's help and grace, do not want that to happen to anyone. And that's our goal for the next however long this lasts. At least my goal, to be sure, is that whatever we do, I pray that we as a body can actually get through this stronger, more connected, closer to God, and be able to enjoy our time together that much more when we finally are able to assemble together. That's our goal, that's my prayer, and I pray that you join us in that too. Speaking of prayer, let us bow before we delve into the lesson today. Gracious Heavenly Father, what a wonderful reminder that this is, as trying as it is, and as different as it is, and as stressful as it is to try to figure all this out, what a wonderful reminder that the church is so much more than a building and so much more than what happens here Sunday morning. I praise you this week for all the acts of the kingdom that happened this week, because it was what people had to do. I praise you for this service, for the body of Christ assembling over such great distances, and actually reminds me a lot of when Christ was on earth, that he would manifest the miracles very, very far. While we're not quite at that level, it's still an amazing thing, and I praise you for the fact that we have technology and the ability to be able to worship together, even though we are spread apart. And God, I just praise you already, and pray with great expectation of what you will do through this time. I believe, God, that this is a great moment for the church, that you can speak in ways that maybe we haven't been listening before, that you can work in ways that maybe we haven't been looking for before, that you can work in us in ways that maybe to break us out of some old habits, and maybe look at ourselves even, and you and Scripture and just what we do in a new light, and maybe even reignite some fire in us. God, whatever you have in mind, I know it'll be good because that's who you are. I praise you for that, God, and I just pray for this time. I once again pray for all the hearts and minds tuned in. May you speak through me still, even through this medium, through me or in spite of me, whichever needs be. And I just thank you for this time together that we can take out of our Sunday to set aside to worship you, to delve into your word, to be reminded of who you are, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for this moment, God, and we praise you through it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the ever-present challenges of ministry, full-time ministry, is the question, what to preach on Sunday? I mean, Sundays come every week, and you are expected to come up and be here with a message that edifies, encourages, convicts, and many other things at once. And this week I spent a good amount of time in prayer and conversation with many other people thinking, what do I preach this week? We're in the middle of a conversation on leadership, which would be good to do, but do we address things going on in the world? Do we not? And I finally came a bit of a happy medium, I think. So this message, I'm sure we'll get back to our regular scheduled programming next week with our final sermon on leadership and shepherding. After all, we are still in the midst of elder selections. But this week, this was on my heart, and I pray that it's beneficial to you out there. And the question we have on the screen is, who cares? Now, that's an interesting way to start out a sermon, especially, I think, in this time. But before we get into it, I want to ask you this question. I actually do want you to take a moment with whoever you're with, whether it's your family, whether it's your kid, whether it's with your dog, whether it's with you and God. I want you to take a moment, and I have a countdown timer. It'll just be literally a minute. And I want you to actually either think, pray, but preferably, I want you to discuss this question. What's a time that you felt alone or uncertain about God's presence? Now, whether you want to pray about that, fine, but I pray that you can be a little bit vulnerable and open with whoever you're around. And just for a minute, actually, what's a time you felt alone or uncertain about God's presence? We'll be back in a minute. I'm not sure what all you discussed about, but always what comes to my mind is I've been fairly fortunate, I will admit. I haven't had all that much loss or grief in my life. However, my wife Amy and I have had two miscarriages, and that was really hard. And the first one especially, I remember having the thought, I remember sitting there when we, you know, just... I was actually gone. I was working a lot. She was going through a lot. But I remember while I was still working and caring for my family, just like, why would this happen? And I asked the question that so many people ask in times of grief or in times of trial or in times of pandemic or times of disaster. Where are you, God? And so many people, even Christians, even people who have a faith, but especially people who don't, ask the question at these times, where is God? After all, the if question, if there was a God, surely he'd do something. If there was a God, surely he'd take care of this. If there was a God, surely he could control this. If there was a God, why would there be all these if questions? And those are hard questions, especially when you're in times of turmoil and trauma. And the thing is, when you're in the midst of those times, the analytical responses don't jive. Well, if this says this, is this. It's okay to ask those questions, and it's okay to wonder, and it's okay to feel that way. And for me, one of the best ways of dealing with that is not necessarily to get all philosophical and theological, although there's a time and place for that, but it's to remind myself when things happen that are counterintuitive from how they should be, when things happen that are wrong, when things happen that are scary, when things happen that are fearful, when things happen that I don't know, who is this God that I'm serving? Who is he really? One of the best descriptions I know of is from Isaiah chapter 40, and we're not going to look at the entire chapter. And I want to read you some excerpts. Isaiah 40, starting in verse 12, he says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who can fathom the spirit of the Lord, or instruct the Lord as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding?" Skip for a little bit to verse 25, and God asks, "To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name because of his great power and mighty strength. Not one of them is missing." See, what's happening here in Isaiah is very similar to how we can apply it now. Isaiah is writing to a people who are going through great turmoil, and Isaiah is reminding them of who the God is that they serve. He's saying that who on earth, or in heaven for that matter, could teach God how to do things? Who on earth has instructed God how to do the right things and pronounce the right ways? Who created everything around us? Who has named each of the stars? Isaiah continues, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" In essence, Isaiah is asking the same question. Why do people say, why isn't God doing something? Where is God? It's the same question. And he answers by saying, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. One of the things that we have to remind ourselves, and it's not blind faith. There's reasons. There's eyewitness. There's history. There's reasons for our faith. It's not just blindly following a fairy tale, but one of the things that we have to remind ourselves in these times of trouble, of turmoil, of fear, of downright just uncertainty, not knowing what tomorrow will look like. The thing that we have to do first and foremost, brothers and sisters, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a preacher, but I struggle with this too, I have to do this too, is remind ourselves just who is it that we serve? Who is it that has created things, and who is it that knows us, that we follow, that cares for us, that loves us, that is greater than anything and everyone in this world, no matter what that is? It's Yahweh, the Holy God, the one who created everything, who's numbered the hairs on our head, who is greater than anything this world can throw at us. You know, the other night, one of my sons was scared, as often happens. He was going to bed, and he said, it's scary. And I always marvel at this moment as a parent, because I went in and the room was dark, and I covered him up and I told him, there's nothing scary in here, you're okay. And he says, but I'm still scared. And I said, it's okay to be scared, but every night before this that I've told you it's okay, have you been okay? Yeah. Every night that I tell you you're safe, have you been safe? Yeah. Can you trust me tonight too? And he goes, okay. A little begrudgingly. But it's amazing in the fact that nothing about the room changed, except for the fact that he had my reassurance. The knowledge of who God is, the one who has the world in his hands, the one who is able to overcome and has overcome anything in this world, nothing really changed about our situation except we remind ourselves who the God is we serve. Now, that doesn't answer the why questions. You're right, it doesn't. We don't know why God does a lot of things. We don't know why he allows certain things, why he doesn't allow certain things. But we know from his character. We know from his past. We know from how he treated Israel. We know from how he's brought us and redeemed us. And we'll get to this a little bit later. That if he's powerful enough to overcome the world, and that powerful enough to be over the world, powerful enough to create the world, we can trust him. And we can know he's good. And we can know that no matter what this world throws at us, we can persevere with God. Now, I'm not saying that's easy. And in fact, sometimes we still have downright fear and anxiety and concern. I want to tell you something today that hopefully you've heard in your life, and hopefully many people have told you. You know what? It's okay to be afraid sometimes. It's okay to be fearful. It's okay to be anxious. You know how I know that? Because Jesus was. In the garden, in Matthew 26, most of us, I hope, know this story. Jesus is sitting there praying, and this is Thomas Revised Version, obviously. I'm not going to open up there. But Jesus is sitting there. He's asked his apostles to pray, and they're falling asleep, and he's praying there fervently. And what is he praying? So hard that he's sweating drops of blood. He's saying, Father, if there's any other way to do this, let this cup pass from me. What does that say? He's a little anxious about what's going to happen, to say the least. Maybe a little bit fearful of what's going to happen as far as death goes. He knows it's going to be okay, because what does he say? He says, but not my will, but your will be done, Father. Not my will, but your Father. But if there's any way we can do this any other way, but your will be done. He trusts in God, even though he's not sure, he's uncertain about the circumstances. The thing is, anxiety, concern, maybe even fear, those are all God emotions. Those are all things that we have. They're okay to feel. They're okay to reckon with. And just because you, even as a Christian, sometimes struggle with these things doesn't mean you have a lack of faith. Just because you sometimes as a Christian, or even not, struggle with what's going on in the world, how can I trust God, doesn't mean that you don't trust God. It doesn't mean that you don't have faith. It doesn't mean that you don't believe who God is. After all, the axiom is that courage is not the absence of fear, but indeed being willing to do what is necessary even with your fear. Likewise, faith is not the absence of anxiety or fear or even doubt, brothers and sisters, but the willingness to trust God and act in faith even with those feelings. Doubt can actually be a good thing, because sometimes if we doubt what we believe, when we overcome it and figure out why I believe something, that can make our faith even stronger. It's when we become paralyzed, it's when that we only dwell on it, that it becomes not healthy. Philippians says, do not be anxious for anything, but instead cast your fears on the Lord. It's meaning don't dwell on it, and give it to God who you can trust with him. Fear, anxiety, uncertainty, it's a part of life, brothers and sisters. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Jesus didn't know what death was going to be like. He didn't know what tomorrow was going to be. Same thing. It's okay to feel these ways. It's okay to not know and wonder about tomorrow. But we also must never, just because we don't have the answers or don't have the whys, must never doubt who God is and the fact that whatever he's going to do, we can trust in him. There's an old preacher who said that if God were to explain his plans to us, we wouldn't believe him. He's God. Can you imagine God sitting you down and being like, all right, here's my plan, and it's going to happen in 2,000 years. Maybe you're Abraham and saying, in 2,000 years, actually probably more like 4 or 5, who knows, thousands of years, sitting him down and saying, look, here's what I need you to do because of this and this and this and this, and then Jesus and the church, and eventually you in Corvallis, this, and Abraham's like, what? He didn't do that. He said, Abraham, trust me. And Abraham said, okay. Take a minute, if you would, another minute, and share with whoever you're around, or even just in prayer. When have you felt most anxious or fearful in your life, and what did you do about it? Maybe even say, if this is a part of it, how your faith helped you through it, or how do you deal with things on a constant day-to-day, or maybe pray about, maybe there's something you need to work on. Take a minute with whoever you're with and ask yourself these questions. Have a little conversation and reflection on it. We'll be back in a minute. You know, it's interesting in Mark, in the passage that was read that we're focusing on this morning, roundaboutly, I'll admit, is notice the apostles and the disciples, their reaction. In verse 38 of Mark chapter 4, verse 38, it says, "But he was asleep," Jesus was asleep in the stern, asleep on a cushion, and they woke him. And what's the first thing they said? "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing? Do you not care?" It's in essence the same thing that the world still asks. In essence, what they're looking for and they're asking the question is, where is God working in this? We're going to die. There's a storm. It's going to capsize us. What are you going to do about it, Jesus? Don't you care about us? And the implication is, if you really cared about us, you'd be doing something that we could see was obvious, that you would care about us, that you were working in a way. Like, we wouldn't be in this, or you would have taken it out, or something. But the fact that it's not what I expect means you obviously don't care. This is what we do. Even the best of us. The thing is, the more that I study Scripture, and the older I get, and the more life that I've had, and granted, I haven't had, you know, as much life as others, and others are younger than I am, and we're all in different parts of life. But I keep coming back to this question, especially because I get asked this question often, where is God working? I tend to ask this question, where is God not working? Think about that for just a moment, and just even the implications of that. Where is God not working? There are some people who believe that God set the earth up like a top and just said, good luck, I'll be around if you need me, maybe. We know that's not the case, and I'll get to that in a second. Where is God not working? Even in this passage, Jesus and God were obviously working. He gets up, and what's the first thing he says? He says, peace be still. But then he says, what's the second thing? He deals with it in the way they expected. But then he says, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? The implication of that is, you weren't trusting me. I was working. I knew what was going on. Have you not realized who I am? Have you not realized who I serve? Have you not realized? Now, Jesus isn't saying, you bunch of idiots. He's saying, where is your faith? Where is your trust? Do you not know me well enough to know that I have been working on this the whole time? And that's what I want to ask us. We know that God is working in this world, not just because He created it, but we know that God is active in this world. Why? Because He came into it, became one of us, showed us what it's like to live like God, be like God, work like God, pray like God, be the image of God as one of us. God Himself became one of us, became a part of our world. Was born to our world the same the way that we all, and died upon a tree that He created so that we may be like Him and He may continue to work through us in this world. We know that God never abandoned the world because of Jesus, that He tabernacled, as John 1:14 says so wonderfully. He made His tent, dwelt among us in flesh. God has never abandoned His world, but Jesus proved it. And Jesus also proved that He's living and active and working in this world. And if Jesus wasn't enough for it, He says He left His Spirit that He puts in every believer, in every temple, every Christian believer who is working actively in this world. The same Spirit that was hovering over the surface of the deep all the way back in Genesis 2, 1. God's not gone anywhere. And we can trust Him because He's God. That He is always working in this world somehow, some way. Maybe the lesson for us in these times especially, but maybe even in regular times, normal times when we tend to forget these moments, is not does God care or where is God working, but because God cares and because He's God, where is He working right now that I need to join Him? Where is He working in front of me that maybe I'm just not quite seeing, that I can join Him in that work, especially right now if things are so topsy-turvy and we're having to reinvent life for a moment. Now, Maybe that's a bit dramatic, but it certainly seems that way sometimes. Where is God working right in front of us that maybe we have missed before, that maybe we haven't seen before, that maybe we haven't been willing to join Him in before? The question of this sermon was, who cares? We know that God cares because of who He is. And we know that God cares because He sent us Jesus and the Spirit to help us deal with these traumas of the world. And we know that He cares because He's still working. Therefore, we can care about God, we can care about His mission, and we can care about each other and ourselves. The last question I have for you that I want you to take a minute on once more, and the last time we're going to do this sermon, is this question. Where have you seen God work in your sphere of life, wherever that is, whatever that is? And if you have time, or maybe the question you need to focus on is this, where can you look this week as you go about whatever your week looks like? Where is God working? And where can you meet Him? Take one more minute. This story is probably one of many well-known ones, one of my favorites, because it teaches us a lot of things. It teaches us that God is active in the world. It teaches us who God is, that yes, He can control things. Sometimes He does, sometimes He doesn't. He won't always calm our storm. Remember Jonah. But also it teaches us who we should trust in, even in times of storms and turmoil. And it teaches us, based on that example, who cares? God has never stopped caring about His creation. That's why we have Jesus and the Spirit. That's why the church exists. And He cares about the things that we care about. He's given us strength to overcome and persevere through them. And because of that, we as the church in these times, our mission, I believe, is to meet God where He's working, and in new ways maybe, let each other know that we care about each other and care about the world. This week, there's going to be several things pop up on our Facebook page, on our website, and a lot of them are going to be geared towards increasing our awareness of God and also increasing our awareness of each other in these times, still trying to build community in isolation. This week we're going to send out to parents a little sheet about encouraging your kids to not just worship on Sundays, but worship and pray and serve throughout the week to begin discipleship. Tonight we're going to start emailing out a daily Devo, a devotional guide that several people here have worked on that's aimed towards increasing our relationship with God and helping us pray and read Scripture in ways that help us open our view of who God is in the world. And this week there have been so many people who have been trying to think of ways to check in on people to make sure that there are people that are okay in isolation. Who cares? We ought to know, I hope we know that God cares, and I hope we know that the world, I hope we know that we care about each other. That's obviously the mission of the church in these times. But in these times, I believe that there's a great opportunity for the church to really show the world that we don't need to be sequestered and isolated in a building as we're sometimes seen, to care about the world, to care about each other, to care about our community. Maybe the question during this time, since the church knows, is the world asking, who cares? And maybe this is what a wonderful time for us to show, even in our fear and anxiety ourselves, show the world who God is, of His love for them, and the fact that even through these times, we can trust Him as our Lord and Christ and Savior. I don't know what the next few weeks will hold, but I know God will be there. Our church family will be a church family still, and God will work. I pray that we meet Him wherever that is. Would you join us now as we continue in worship?